Okay, if we can all settle down, get ready for our services tonight. It's been a real treat. See, the little baby's got his eyes open and everything, so that's a real good thing going on. Welcome to our midweek services, and I'm so glad to see you all here tonight. Pray that you've had a good week and looking forward. But I didn't recognize Miss Wendy. She's got a mask off. But we're praying, you know, remember their services coming up here and all these things that are coming up real quick. Got a lot to be thankful for in this country. If you haven't voted yet, please get out there and vote, because we got one coming up this coming Tuesday. And early voting will start in Saturday. So keep those in mind. Keep your prayer life going and all the things that are going on in our church. So we'll get Brother Russell up here to lead us in a song.
Yeah. Not sure how much leading will be going on, but it's all right. So let's all stand up, turn to number 79. Number 79. We'll do the first, second, and the last verse. So 1, 2, and 4. I'm going to try. So I don't know what this is going to sound like, but we're going to give it a shot. I was trying beforehand. I kind of get something out a little bit this time, so we'll give it a shot. And like I said, I want to apologize to the people watching it online, because it may not be pretty. So here we go. Let's go through. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my Sovereign die? Would He devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Was it for crimes that I have done He groaned upon the tree? Amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Yeah, a little squeaky. Here we go. Verse 4. But drops of grief can ne'er repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself away. 'Tis all that I can do. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. Amen. All right, you can be seated.
We've got a real treat tonight. We've got a Hildebrand preaching. I don't know if it's Miss Judy or it's not Miss Judy. So it must be Brother Rick. Brother Rick, come on up here and give us what the Lord's given to you tonight, okay? And take your service where you need to take it, brother.
Oh, my goodness. Good to have fun. Pick on that girl all the time. 52 years. Three. I missed it. Short 53? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. 5-3. All right. Romans chapter 4, if you would, this evening. Yes. out there talking in the vestibule just a little bit. The brother asked a question about Romans chapter number 3, about the by faith and through faith. So we was discussing that, and he didn't know where I was going to be at tonight, but was starting Romans chapter number 4. But we'll bounce back to Romans chapter number 3 and pick up a thought there. Because of verse number 1 in chapter 4, it says, "What shall we say then? Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found." I run across that and I pause there for a little while, just thinking about it. I said, what did Abraham find? In the flesh. And that's why I titled my message here this evening, what did Abraham find? And so we'll look at the things that Abraham found and see if everyone will encourage our heart in these days. Lord, we sure love you. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Thank you, our Father, for this precious book that you preserved and kept for us. Lord, we have it to hold in our hand. The sweet Holy Ghost of God would melt its words in around our heart. And Lord, help us. God, we love you more, trust you more. Make difference in us, we pray, our Father, Lord, in our time together around this precious word. These last days of this dispensation of grace, dear Lord, fear seems to be prevalent in so many people's lives, dear Father, of everything around. But I pray, Lord, that you would help us, dear Father, that we just trust in thee with all of our heart, as Abraham did, believed you, had confidence in you, didn't waver, didn't stagger, didn't stumble. So, Lord, help us, we pray, God, that you'd strengthen us with all spiritual might in Christ Jesus. And make difference, we pray, in this local assembly, dear Father, that we would be a light, dear Lord, this sin-cursed world, the community, dear Father, we live. We'll sure thank you, we'll praise you for what you do now. In Jesus' name, amen. I can pray for the guys. I was supposed to have been down in Eastman, Georgia, which is just west of one of them towns down there. Anyway, I didn't get my clearances, and that's a problem through this COVID garbage. It seems like all the computers are bad, everything's online, and nobody wants to fix stuff, and so you'd be able to go. Everybody's got to go there, but whenever you go there, there ain't nobody can do anything while they're there. So that's what's been taking place. And so I didn't get cleared for the Georgia facility. They allowed me to go in last time just by my driver's license, and she gave me signature. So, but they're there, and the Lord's really blessed already. Two men's trusted Christ as Savior this afternoon. Picked out the worst of the worst. I said, I wish I could have been there. I like them. And the worst pod that was there, as a matter of fact, we was at Union Correctional, and that's what they stuck me in. They gave me the worst of the worst over there. And I mean, God just really had that time and that place, and I did with him. Just seeing the Spirit of God arrest hearts and make difference in a troubled place. And that's what happened this afternoon there in Eastman Correctional Juvenile Facility there. So pray for the men. They'll be back there tomorrow and finishing up tomorrow afternoon. And so pray for that facility. There's another one just up the road about 15 miles. They split off the young people in that facility. Built a new one. This was an old facility, and they built a new one up there. So pray that you get that door open. The chaplain there is trying to get it accomplished up there, that other facility. So low staffed that they won't allow. But they would, today they wasn't, but seven men came out, young men came out because no staffing. And so that's the way it's been now. And so just pray much for these days and these times. As everybody's got signs out. State has their signs out. Now hiring, but there ain't nobody wanting to work. So sure pray for things that's going on, and also in facilities and staffing and stuff like that. So the ones that are there are really struggling under woe. So fearful because of the The gangs is there. Stabbings and the killings and everything goes on in those places. Everybody don't hear about it, but it happens a bunch. And just it's not published in the news and on the TV or nothing of that same, unless that everything explodes and it'll maybe get out. So just pray for the meetings that's coming up for this month. We'll be out in Arkansas. Kansas in the military prison. My first time back there. It'll be our second time in that facility again since COVID. So pray much. Those men are there. It's exactly the same thing as Hungary, but they have the staffing. They got the military staffing backing up there. So we're looking forward to being out there in that facility right before Thanksgiving, the weekend before Thanksgiving. So if y'all pray for that and pray for the meeting there, I sure be grateful. Here in Romans chapter number 4, picked out some things. What the highlight of Abraham is faith. And that's what he found. He found faith to believe God. And so there's a lot of things that's in this chapter 3 and 4 that Paul's writing to the church at Rome. I believe it would be a help and encouragement to us if we just allow him to, because it sure was to me as I looked at it and seen that, see what he found there, and just go down through the chapter number 4 and then outlining chapter number 3, there was that thought of something about faith that made difference. Chapter 3, verse number 27, where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay. But by the law of faith. Strange that God would put that in there, that there's something that guidelines faith coming down through there. There's things that stipulate. There's laws. God said there's laws that He's laid down that makes a difference in our faith. What is faith? Hebrews says it's substance. Something that's in us. That we're hoping for something. It ain't the hope, 20th century hope, okay? Don't get mixed up on that 20th century garbage. It ain't maybe. No. Bible hope is a sure thing. You mark these things down, God is as sure as this book is sure. The hope of this Bible is that it's something anchored down in your soul that you know for sure. It's something that you hope for. And it's a sure thing that as we study this book right here, we have know what's coming. Oh, we've seen the past, but we know what's coming. Because this book's done outlined it for us, so we have something inside of us, a hope for, that gives that encouragement that there's better days to come for the child of God. These may be the worst days we'll ever see, but the best days are yet to come. And Paul... Abraham learned those things way back there that set some laws in motion that God seemed that Abraham had something and he laid these things down that we can have something today if we'll just follow in some steps that a man done took walking with God that became a friend of God that God says, something different about this Abraham guy. A faith, a law of faith. Romans says, where is boasting then? Is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Hebrews 11:1 says it this way. He says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtain a good report. The old folks found, they got a good report. I'm down to the old folks' lane. I'm there. I found something back yonder 40-some years ago that anchored something down in my heart that I'm able to look up and say, God, I need help. And God heard my cry. He made difference on His earth. And He begun a good work that day in me to bring me to the places that I am today and where I'm going to be tomorrow and where I'm going to be in eternity. Something hoped for. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that will diligently seek Him. Abraham had a belief in God. He never staggered at it. He had something down inside of him. When God started talking to him and He said for him, I want you to rise and to go, he didn't hesitate. He left family and everything, and he rose and he left and went to where God said for him to go. A city, and not a city, but a desert land. And it wasn't no town. It wasn't no nothing. He never had nothing. He just was heading to a place that God said, I want you to go. Are you willing to do that? If God would come to you and outline you a passage of Scripture in this Bible right here, are you willing to do what God said for you to do? As so many people aren't, because there is no faith. There's no confidence in God that He'll take care of you. Oh, you heard testimony about the fact of it, but you've never come to the place of that taking that step. That first step of faith, and that's what Abraham did. He left that place and he journeyed in Him, and God fulfilled all His way down through that period of time and never hesitated. And I promise you, God may lead you through some hard times, but I promise you there's a God in heaven to supply all your need according to His riches. Not the worldly riches, not the church riches, not personal riches. I'm saying according to God's riches. He just believed God. And everyone that's saved by the good grace of God ought to have that faith inside of them to believe God for everything. God wants to. God desires to. Chapter 4 and verse number 3 says, For what saith the Scriptures? Where are you going to get your faith at? Listen, just listening to the preacher? Oh, no. I promise you. Oh, I know faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. I know it some comes by that way, but I promise you, if you have a desire to know God and then that Word of God, I promise you, you get in this book right here, and I'm saying God will flood your soul with some thoughts inside of you and encourage your heart about some things He wants you to do, and you won't hesitate to rise up and go do what He's asked you to do. Not sit around mully grub about it and wait on somebody. He's wanting you to go do something. And He's looking at you. It ain't just to the preacher and that so-called missionary, whatever. It's to every child of God that sits and says that they've been saved by the good grace of God. There's no difference between, it says right there, between the Jew nor the Greek. The same Lord over all is rich unto all that will call upon His name. There's no difference in us. I know people sit around thinking that the independent Baptist and the fundamentalist wanted to come out of them college up there and talk about pastoral authority. But you know there's a group now that's started up out there that's called the recovering fundamentalist. Because them fundamentalists up there that had their head all screwed on and wrong and thinking they was in charge of everything and it's going to be their way or the highway. Well, their way was an ungodly way. Because their pride lifted them up, and He said, you let your pride lift you up, I promise you, you won't have a fall. And there's been bunch that fell and fell hard. And our nation ain't recovering from it. You wonder why all them other, whatever they call that mess that's going on out there, starting up, got rivers and mountains and trees and stumps and all kinds of places out there they want to call church. You know why it's out there? As Paul done said it in these scriptures right here, because they have lack of faith and they have left God and they want to go their way, listening to those other crowds in their way. It's in this book. And Abraham believed God. Abraham believed what God said and everything God said. It was not that he had a hiccup about what God said. He didn't have no hiccups about what God said. He believed every word God said to him. Every word. So many of people today, the so-called called by the saying that they're saved by the grace of God, they come to the house of God and they'll leave the house of God and they leave exactly the same way they come in. There's nothing that stirs the heart. I wish some of you would just come and go with me. You think I was talking about union correctional. God, throw me in there with 20 some kids that were worse and worse than out on the street. And wept and begged God. I said, God, I'm nobody, but you're everything. And I said, God, I can't, but you can. And all of us went to that place right there with a hunger on our heart to be a witness for the Savior. And I'm saying, God came in that place. The sweet Holy Ghost of God rested those kids. Quiet just fell across the place. And I mean, conviction fell. I felt it. They felt it. The officers felt it. I'm saying, God moved in and made difference there. I said, oh God, if you come back to your house where God's people are at and let the Word of God bring conviction upon your heart and you get right with God and go back down and be something for the Savior. You think it's unreal? It ain't unreal. Church has come to be apathetic toward God. I know you're sitting here on a Wednesday night and be Bible study, and I'm laying out a scripture on here that Abraham believed God, and he believed exactly what God said, and he had something that when God said it to him, it changed him. He walked a different way. And every child of God ought to, if God brings any amount of conviction in your heart, there will be a place of repentance at His house. Believe in God. 1 John 5:10 says, he that believeth on the Son hath a witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made God a liar, because he believed not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given unto us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. And he that hath the Son hath life. There ought to be some vibrance on the inside, life and desire, saying, God, here I am. God, do with me what you had to do with me. God, I want you to make a difference in my life. And he hath the Son, hath life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye might know that you have eternal life, and that ye might believe on the name of the Son of God. Oh, well, I'm a Christian. Who got the Sunday's paper? Anybody get the Sunday's paper? Sis left it up there at the house, up on the mama's table up there. Miss Judy brought it down there. I don't know what section it was in on there, but had homeless. Had somebody went down there and talked to the homeless. A boy and a girl and an old man. Papa. Can tell you how many times I sit down and witness them folks down there on the street. Last time I saw him was there at the post office, sitting on the concrete rail down through there, and they sit down there on that rail, and I saw them, and so Miss Judy, I think Miss Judy was with me, I can't remember that, whooped in there and saw them, and I was giving them some food. Every one of them was drunk as a skunk. But that old man sitting on that thing with my boy, he started, I mean, quoting Bible verses after Bible verses after Bible verses. drunk. I'm saved! What makes the difference? Is he saved? I couldn't tell you. You couldn't look at the man and say, yeah, you're saved, but by what? I'm quoting Bible verses. I mean, he probably can quote, that evening was quoting more Bible verses than me, because hey, that was just blurting out of a man. Do you know, whenever I read that article, I just started thinking about the church. There's so many church folk are drunk on the world that they'll sit around and blurt out a bunch of Bible verses and care not one thing about God and His book right here. But you memorized a few of them, but you got so worldly minded out there, and that you're no heavenly good to God, and God's trying to bring somebody to bring you something, and yet you hear, and Jeremiah said, the Lord says, oh, they worship me with their mouth, but their heart. Their heart is far from me. The heart is desperately wicked above all things. Who can know it? Jeremiah said, believe what God said. He believed what God could do. By thought, do you believe what God can do? He had a thing in his heart and his mind. He said that thing about thought and by and through God, what it can do. He identified the agent performing the action. That's why I keep trying to tell some of them Rock of Ages guys. It's you hear it so much. You just want to put something right down the I. And many of those I dudes are no longer doing what God would have them to do. Oh, they come for a while and they're off down somewhere else because I believe God wanted me to go do something else. I said, well, it wasn't just a couple of years ago you said, believe God told you this. I said, do you think God changed His mind as much as He changes His mind? Huh? If that book says He's the same yesterday and today and forever, I don't believe God changes His mind as much as some of them Cracker Jack dudes out there says He changes their mind. I'm talking about preachers that just say, I believe God's going to move us down here and believe it. And they jump like grasshoppers every 3 or 4 years and just hopping around everywhere and say, I'm a God-called preacher. Sure you are. You're a hireling, Paul said. Galatians says it this way, chapter 2, verse number 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. We're going to come up with our own laws that guide our life. Instead of living by faith that God says for us to do, just trust me in these days. Abraham found that. Long before the law ever came, he found faith in his flesh, just walking with God. He found something way back there. And God saw that. And God says, hey, I'm going to make a covenant with a man. God made a covenant with a man because he was his friend. Covenants. That's another good, interesting word in this Bible. That the God of the universe would covet with a man and do a work through a man that we today get to reap what he did. We get to learn what he did. That we might step in the ways of Abraham. Is it possible? It's possible. As I want to with God. It ain't by happenstance that Paul brings this thing up in here and he talks more about in the Romans and in all of his writings. He talks about this thing about Abraham and the circumcision and the uncircumcised that God sent him to. He said, I wanted to go to my people, that circumcised crowd. But he said, God didn't want to let me go there. He said, I'm going to a bunch that's uncircumcised. That's physically that he was talking about, but hey, he also had an understanding about the spiritual. And that's what Abraham found. Scriptures have concluded in Galatians chapter number 3, all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. But before faith came... We were kept under the law. Was it? Talking about our faith. Before our faith came, we was up under that law. Judged. But the law came after Abraham's faith. But he says, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards should be revealed. He was shut up. Brought on that schoolmaster because that crowd he's bringing in there wasn't going to follow with him. He said, I got my friend Abraham. He got his children came down through years. I gave the law to him because I knew that they wasn't going to follow me like my friend Abraham was. I brought the law in there, the do's and the don'ts. You got to walk this way and that way. And not one can keep it. God knew it. So he gathered up all them priests and had all them priests and all them Levites and all that congregational crowd to come up and kill. I don't know. If I could Google and see the estimation of how many animals were killed through that period of years down through there and the slaughter and the blood that ran. I said, wowee. Just a covering. Just a covering. Just a covering. Just a covering. The covering's no more. Chapter 4 and verse number 2, he said, for if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. The reason why you hear all these garbage out there and ain't nobody doing nothing. Ain't talking about the Lord. It's always I, me, myself, and mine. Glorying in that, what they think they're doing. So there ain't no glory in it before God. For verse number 3 said, for what saith the Scriptures? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Accounted. This thing of being justified before God. It's not of works. Verse number 2, it says, for he hath not to glory but before God. For what said the Scripture, Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Not to him that worketh is the is reward, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. A justification by faith. God says if he sees and looks at us and we're looking to God by faith, he says, I got something for you. He said, I'm a clear your record. That account, that a reckoning, God says, I'm gonna put something on your record that ain't there now. He said, I'm gonna put something there that you ain't even asked for. You just look my way by that little old word of faith. He said, I'm gonna justify you and make you clean. Sometimes not in the world's eyes, but I'm saying to you in God's eyes, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We still walk in that path and this sinful flesh. I've said that about them homeless dudes. I said, I could be sitting there a drunkard fool. But right now I know two missionaries is there right there where they're at. And I ain't bragging on no Hildebrand. That humbles me. It brings fear inside of my soul. If those two men could do it, I could do it. You could do it. Justification. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy hath He saved us. By the washing and the regeneration of the Holy Ghost. Something that God gives, and He says, Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you comfortless, but I'm going to send another that He's going to abide with you and shall be in you, shall teach you all things, bring all things to your remembrance. He said, I'm going to give you something, somebody. I know I'm going away. You're going to miss me. But He said, somebody's coming. And He ain't going to be walking by your side. He's going to be on the inside. He's going to be bringing some things out inside of you if you'll have an ear to hear what the Spirit has to say to you. That reckoning of God. Who's worthy? Who is worthy? I'm wanting to come to the church house and people come to the church right here. I like to talk to the congregation whenever on Sunday, and we had a pretty good crowd Sunday. And I looked across the congregation and I said, Lord, I wonder who's saved here today and who's lost. I said, I cannot see. I said, Lord, you see. Pastor preached the message. I brought the Holy Ghost, the conviction down on that thing. But nobody is moving. Do you ever wonder why? Oh, it's the preacher. No. Don't always point at the preacher. There's a lot of preachers that are bad. I don't think ours is. Gave me no inclination inside of me. I'm standing here talk to him as if he was standing right here. He's probably watching on the feet right there. I wouldn't slander that man of God for not one thing in this whole world. But I'm saying to you, there's a lot sets in the pew that have a hard heart toward God. And whenever the man of God preaches this book right here, there ought to be something that there are a resound down to his soul right there that God says, by grace, that is something. God said, I want to give you something you don't deserve. He's wanting to. What makes the difference in that juvenile facility down there and the church house? What makes the difference? It's church building, you think, boy. It ought to be something that the Spirit of God ought to be dwelling in this place right there. Why was it the prison house? And the facilities that we've not even been in North Carolina is five facilities. Setting out in the parking lot with an FM radio, that's the first time they allowed Rock of Ages to stand outside the facility, not been in that facility, but stood outside that facility and preached the gospel for over a year and a half. And when time come, they allowed them to come in. You ain't going to believe what went on inside that place. How many times we turned away at the church house doors? It's sad to a place have a place that could set 100 men, filled it up for 3 nights, And every night they turned men back every night. Why? I want to give you something to think about. Why? Is it God's fault? No, it ain't God's fault. God wants to impute righteousness to them that will allow Him to. Impute is a word. I looked the definition up on my. It means to assign a value to something. A value. You think about that. That's throwaways down in the prison house. I stood up and testified to church down at Landis Baptist down there a Sunday night down there. I said, it's one thing that God allows me to do. I get to go to the junkyards. I get to go to the trash dumpsters. I get to go to the throwaways. I get to the one that the society said, let's get rid of them, that outfit down there and dump them down to a spot down here. And then you think it's a strange thing that God would put inside people's heart to go to a place like that, to indwell the filth inside that place. But you step inside that place and you sense the convicting power of the Holy Ghost of God more than there than you can in the house of God, then there's something wrong with the house of God. I promise you. I promise you. There's something wrong. Is there a need of revival? There's a need of revival. There is a need of revival in our nation. It ain't a sad thing that the prison house are in that situations that God has stirred inside that place, and isolation has brought about something that who'd ever thought it? And I'm saying God implemented it. God wrought it. And He allowed us to go there that He might impute some righteousness inside of a place that's so filthy that the world just says, what's the use? God's up in heaven grinning. He said, I'll show you in eternity. And it's close. It's close. It's closer than what you think. But God done said it. I don't know what the lineup is. God does. God ain't caught off guard. God's on time about everything. It won't surprise me one iota that the Democrats don't rush in there and take it all over again. We live through four more years of what we've had in the last four. Wouldn't that make you grin? Wouldn't that make y'all folks grin real good? Huh? Come on. God can. Impute means also means ascribe righteousness. By virtue of a similar quality in another. Righteousness. God's righteousness. Just to think in our hearts and our minds that God would impute that into us. I don't know all of your testimonies. Y'all don't know all of my testimony. Miss Judy knows it, but she knows me. But I'm saying to you that the God of heaven come down whenever He saw a heart, just a dab of something turned toward God, saying, God, over here we need something. And God said, I got an ear for you. I'm coming, just wait on me. I'm going to impute something here today. And I'm saying that's what God wants to do. And every child of God, He wants to work a work that makes difference in every one of us, that we'll go out and be a shining light for the Savior. righteousness by faith in verse number 11. Abraham, he received a sign of circumcision to seal, a seal of righteousness of faith. Which he had not yet been uncircumcised, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. Theirs were God's, he said, putting that thing in there, but the Jews had something they thought. Gentiles are just a piece of trash. But God says, hey, when did he get his sign up there? He said, before he made that covenant. And circumcision ever come. He said, that man had faith. And because it was then, we get it now. The old Gentile used to be able to get in. Them old inmates can get in. Them street folks out there can get in. God wants to make that difference. Because he made a covenant with Abraham and the steps that he took that must be followed. Romans 4:12 says, and the father of circumcision to them who are not circumcised only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of father Abraham, which he had been yet uncircumcised. Them steps that he started taking long before that period of time. That's what the steps God wants us to start taking. Those steps of faith, just coming God's way, walking his way, having to understand he said something, and you're going to walk by his sayings, not by your sayings, not by the world's sayings, but by what he's already said in this book right here. You're going to have a hunger after his righteousness. And that's what some of them street folks out there have lost. I heard the old man's been dry for 2 years now. Ain't been able to see him out on the street. I'm wanting to. Every time I go through town, I don't go around town. I go through town and I loop the corners trying to find him. Why? I got something to say. It's what my father said for me to say. To help a sinner to come to know the Savior. Steps to take. Signs must be felt in verse number 11. He says, and receive the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of faith, which he had yet been uncircumcised, that he might be the father of them all that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them. A sign, he goes in there and he talks about it. A sign, a seal. It ain't a strange thing God puts these books in this Bible right here. It ain't just English. I don't even know what is proper English. Some of you teachers out here might have an understanding, but I don't go and look around what Greek has to say about them things. I just know what them words mean, and I know God means exactly what He said. He kept them just for me. He said, there's a sign for you. There's a seal for you. And He said, all those things got to be some feeling done to it. What? The love of God is shed abroad in your heart by that Holy Ghost. He makes the difference. And there's a feeling starts coming out that makes difference in a relationship to God. Love found a way. God's love. He loved us so much that He came to where you were. To give you something you didn't deserve. To bring you to a place in this life to be used by the Savior is what He's wanting to. Your life will be different. a sign. Galatians 6:15, for in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. A new creature in Christ Jesus. That creature that God says is different than this whole world. You ain't going to dress like it. You ain't going to walk like it. You ain't going to talk like it. God says He's going to hate them ones that have pleasure in them that do those wicked things. You watch your TV with all that trash and garbage on it. Pleasure in unrighteousness. Colossians 2 says it this way. He says, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principalities and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of this sin of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. I'm glad. I didn't know what He did that night I got saved. I never did figure that thing out. It was a long time. I didn't have no understanding about it. Mr. Ball would teach some things in Sunday school, and I'd ask him some of the off the wall questions. I know that I seen him smile and laugh so many times because he was teaching me some of these words right here, and I had no concept of what them words meant then. A lot of God's people don't even have no concept what they believe today. But God made an operation without human hands. A circumcision. He went inside and cut my soul loose from this old flesh. Set me free. I would to God in some way, somehow, He could took this old rotten flesh and flung it down through the woods down there, let the coyotes eat it up or something. You like you? I don't like me sometimes. Miss Judy don't even like me. Sometimes. A surety that must be found. Verse number 18. Says, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not yet weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, was but strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. God knows what He's doing. I got a few more minutes right here. For Hebrews, if you would, chapter number 11. Flip back there about Abraham and Sarah. Paul writes back here. I know the pastor been teaching. I can't remember where he's at. We ain't been here all this time, so I don't know where he's at in the book of Hebrews. But this is chapter 11. He talks about Abraham and the faith that he had. And he was called. I talked about that. But he called to go out to a place which he should have to receive an inheritance and obeyed. But I'm going to bring out those words back over in Romans. Excuse me. I'm trying to hurry up right here. But I'm going to jump back there to Romans. If you ain't left there yet. That thing about he says who against hope believed in hope. Verse number 19 says, being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body. He staggered not at the promises of God. Verse number 20, but was strong in faith. Verse number 21, and being fully persuaded. If you pick up on some of these words right here and say, God, would you apply all them words to my life? I want to believe and hope. I don't want to be weak in faith. I don't want to stagger at your promises. I want to be strong in everything that you put me forward to do. I want to be fully persuaded about you are able to do exceedingly abundant above all I could ever ask or think. I don't know what's necessary to go over here into Hebrews chapter number 11. But Abraham believed God. And he went out. Verse number 9, it says, by faith he sojourned to that land of promise as a stranger in a country. For he looked for a city which hath foundation, whose builder and maker is God. That dear wife, following along behind faithful Abraham, said, through faith also Sarah herself received strength. Strange that he waited till she was almost 100 years old. Strange. Not to God. He was on time. The world looks at it as an impossibility. I don't know what them folks said back in that period of time. That was impossible. You might say, man, that's probably some of them Bible correctors today say, they ain't no way that took place. But God took it place. And Sarah believed God. She judged him faithful who had promised. How do you judge him, ladies? They all died in faith, not having received the promise, but having seen them afar off. A promise. God's gave us a bunch of them. We can have a bunch of them today. There's something coming. A heaven. To gain. I'm wondering. I can't see. Can't see your soul. There's so many people. Live a life in the church house. Wait. Way down to the end of the road. Realize they've just been a good church member. Faithful to church, thinking that was faithful to God. Somebody be more faithful to the restaurant. It's pretty faithful to be faithful to a restaurant, ain't it? Ladies and waiters know your name by name. Pretty faithful to know that. God know you. It's your name written down. Just don't be a good church member. Have faith in God. Believe Him. Believe Him for His salvation. I don't know where you're at. I don't believe it's by no happen chance I'm asking the question. Because I've heard it too many times. Too many. Come to the house of God. Faithful to the house of God. Leave this old world just a member of the house of God. Never make it to heaven. Let's pray. Father, we bow before you. Thank you for this book. We thank you, Lord, for what Abraham found. Faith, substance of things hoped for. Sure is evidence, dear Lord, of things not seen. There is evidence. And that book right here gives us pictures, types, dear Lord. I thank you for them. I'm asking the sweet Holy Ghost of God to make a difference, dear Lord, in hearts and lives here today. Help us, we pray, my Father, in these days, God, we find ourselves faithful to you to be a witness, as you said, before you went back to heaven. Last commandment. Go ye therefore to all the world. Tell them. Help us, we pray, our Father, in these days, dear Lord. We have the love of God in our heart, dear Lord, and the Scriptures in our soul, dear Lord. We'd be able to sit down with sinners, dear Lord, and share the gospel that they could be saved. At least turn to you before it's everlasting too late. Make a difference in our hearts and our lives here today. Do a work, dear Father, that nobody else can do. You only, dear Father, can bring about conviction. You only, dear Lord, can save a soul. Help us, we pray. We'll thank you for it. Now stand to our feet. Song of invitation tonight. If you need to come around this altar, whatever God spoke to your heart about, He's real. Our time's real.
Search me, O God.
Exactly what He wants to do.
Oh, my heart today.
Search it.
Try me, O Savior. Know my faults, I pray. See if there be some wicked way.
Be seated. Brothers, come and give prayer requests.
Well, we got an earful from God tonight, did we not? This past week, we attended our youngest grandson's wedding, and we was. Kathy, our daughter-in-law's stepdad, was there. Really fine man, devout and all this other stuff, but he's in the Southern Baptist Church, and we was going, talking to you how them young people, when they get married, you know, there's a lot of stuff going on. So he and I went out in the foyer to get a little bit of peace and quiet. And so we was talking about that. He said, some of these people are like King James, only he went off on this stuff. So, and this come to my mind, and the vision of all is becoming to you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I cannot, for it is sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I am not learned. Wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips you honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precepts of men. Then over here in Amos, there's another verse that'll come in there. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst of water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. And this shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east, and shall run to and fro to seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. Is that not our place right now? I didn't want to take up Brother Rick's things there. We have, I was just looking on a list here, and just this little list here in our little church, there's 25 or 26 people in our church right now that are needing prayer. One thing I want to remind you, are y'all listening? Set your clocks back this week, okay? Okay, we got that down. But remember, I haven't seen Miss LaMonda in a while. I'm wondering, I'll probably have to drop her a line. Remember the Hunting family and with all the surgeries and illnesses and stuff that they've gone through, and then the loss of that granddaughter? Remember Miss Becky back there? Her family was back here in Forest this past Sunday. How they still must be reeling. You know, it's just amazing to me. So I'll open it. Prayer request, Brother Jim. Brother Jerry. You. Do all right, lost loved ones. Brother, you got to pray for that wife. Yes, ma'am. Yeah. Mama? Okay. Her name was Boyd, wasn't it? Any other? Yes, ma'am. What's the name? Any others? Brother? Oh, dear. What's her name again? Any others? How's Shana doing? Yes, ma'am. Yeah, Miss Linda. It's one of the names on our list here, Miss Linda. Oh, yeah. Miss Dolores is getting a little overwhelmed at stuff in times like that. You guys got anything for us? Take that mask off and you... Anybody else? We got a special request from Alice. Our Lindy's niece just called. They live in Ohio. And she said that her dad has stage 4 cancer. And it is terminal. And she wanted Lindy just to speak a little sermon on the phone. And so Bear got on the phone. She stuck the phone up to her dad's ear. And you could hear that rattle. You could hear that rattle. So, but she was talking to him what little bit of German she remembers now. But the last thing she said to him, you hear all these terms. She said, last thing she said to him was, Auf Wiedersehen, till we meet again. So remember Bob Mock and his family. That's kind of a rowdy kind of family too there. Brother Wyndham, how's your dad doing? Good gracious. Any others that we can talk about? Yes, brother. Grant Hedger. Mark of the Beast. Any others before we go out? Brother Bill, how's that daughter of yours doing? Okay, good. That's good to hear. Sister, she was Miss Ashley was in a fixer for a while. What was worried about? Again, remember, I don't know if you remember all these people, but remember our little prayer list and be faithful about this. And like Brother Rick says, the book, that's all we got. And the Bible also says in there, it says that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. So if you can and you're willing and able, let's come up to our altar and let's close out our service tonight in prayer. Father, we just want to thank you for this opportunity to come to you with our prayers and our petitions, Father. A lot of them are just wrapped in silent tears, Father, because we don't know what else to do except turn it over to you. We're praying for Scott Miller, Father, who's in stage 4 cancer, and for Kathy Dierman, who's looking for a job and her health concerns, for Glenda Kennedy for health, Tina Godby for a health situation that's going on there, our dear Miss Gail, who she's got health concerns as well, our brother-in-law Bob Mock and his family up there facing the imminent death, for Salem Collins, who's a 15-year-old girl, Father, that faces so many challenges, but you never know it by the looking on her face. Pray for Regina's little girl. She gets over that infection and everything. We pray for Miss Becky and her family that they move forward, Father, as you would have them do. So many unspoken requests, Father, that are going out so many times, Father. And you know each and every one of them. We pray for the home being sold at Derrick's and to get some peace there. For Miss Boyd passing away, Father. She was a trip. She was a wonderful little lady. For Ruth Chamberlain. And Kathy Leinberger, and Linda Knupp, and Mr. Dolores, all these people, Father, that need a real touch on how to just wrap your arms around them ever so gently and let them know that things are going to be well. For Brother Wyndham's dad in the hospital, for Grant Hagler, for Mr. Jeremiah and his wife, the things that they're facing. Father, we just overwhelmed at the needs in this world, but Father, we serve a God that's capable, who's more than the ability to fill up our deepest needs and wants. But Father, we trust everything into your confidence and your knowledge and your will. And we just thank you, Father, one more time for our pastor, for his leadership, for the leadership of our Sunday school teachers, for the people that are stepping in, doing things around the church, keeping things going. We want to pray for Miss Aretha, particularly, as she faces things, this surgery and stuff. So, Father, so many things, but our great God knows each and every one of them and all things going on. So we turn this over to you tonight. We pray for mercy travelers as we go back home. Get us ready for this Sunday's worship service, Father. And we pray, Father, that you come down in a very real way and we can celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. For it's his name we pray. Amen. Thank you all. Be careful going home, okay?